from the high desert and the great American Southwest.
I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be, wherever you are in the world, all of which is covered by this program, Midnight in the Desert. My name is Art Bell. And we're going to have an interesting evening, I can tell already. Let me enumerate the rules. That takes about 5 minutes. No, takes about 1 second. No bad language and only one call per show. No bad language, one call per show. That was more seconds than that. Didn't need that many, did I? All right, I want to thank the usual people at the outset of the show. Telos for the great sound, Joe Talbot. And it is great sound. And I want to say this again. If you have not yet fitted some earbuds into whatever it is you use, oh, man, you've got to get to it. You really have got to get to it, because we are in stereo and it sounds really good. All thanks to Telos. Keith Rowland, my webmaster, the producer position, a new person in the seat. Heather Wade, welcome to Midnight in the Desert. Dr. J had a lot on his plate. However, he remains associate producer, and so he is still with us and assisting Heather, who I think is going to be dynamite in the job. The Bell Gab website, if you dare. People who love Art Bell, got to change that name. I just can't say it. Midnight in Desert, that's another chat site. So people are asking, you know, where can I go to chat about the show? You can go to Bell Gab, if you dare, or you can go to Midnight in Desert, and all will be well. Bell Gab is a little rough. Vaguely lovable, as always, but rough. And the stream guys who get us out there to you, LV.net, gets it from here to there. And sales, of course, Peter Eberhardt. He is our sales guy up in Alaska, way up north. Okay. A little announcement. Many are asking for Brendan and Barbara. You know, the GIS. Ghost Investigators Society. The 20th. Actually, we were going to have them on this week, but it now looks like it will be the 20th, but they are scheduled for then, so yay. All right, a couple of things. We are actively now, listen very carefully, if you're a computer person, if you're an app developer, attention! If you're knowledgeable in creating both iOS and Android apps, that's a lot of knowledge, that can access our subscriber database. That's what we're doing. We need a new app. So if you can design something that would access our subscriber database of logins to securely download and play the podcast on mobile devices, then we need you. Or if you have expertise in adapting, these are not my words, or interfacing with existing membership software to publish a secure password-protected RSS feed to current podcast players, that might work also. Greek to me. If you're interested, send your proposals to webmaster@artbell.com. That's webmaster@artbell.com. Okay? I hope somebody out there, and I'm certain there is somebody out there that can do it. And by the way, we have announced on Facebook, I don't know if you received the announcement, that the price of the show is going to $7.99 beginning August 20th. Now, not for those of you who have already subscribed as time travelers. You, as long as you maintain your membership month to month, are locked in forevermore at $5. In fact, don't panic. You can still join and become a time traveler for $5, and that locks you in as long as you remain current. Why are we going to $7.99? Well, because we're miserable SOB money grubbing, you know, whatever. No, not really. Because this is a you supported radio program. Meaning, you know, if we don't have advertisements, for example, I mean, we do have them right now. We have minuscule 6 minutes an hour. But even if they were to go away, this was designed to be a listener-supported program, and the whole concept was to have this live program, the one we're doing right now, right? Live and free. That's good. And it is free, and the reason it's free is because of members like you. So there you have it. A couple of items in the news. Obama's power plant climate plan shifts to the courts. Of course. He wants to clamp down on power plants, you know, emissions, new federal plan that, if successful, would attempt to slow down global warming by dramatically shifting the way Americans get and use electricity. Touting the plan at a White House ceremony, he described his unprecedented carbon dioxide limits as the biggest step ever taken on U.S. climate. On that point, at least his opponents agreed. They denounced it, of course, as an egregious federal overreach that would spend all kinds of money on things that we shouldn't spend it on and send power prices surging. And, you know, if you look at Obamacare and what that did, you got to listen to this, I guess. Former President Jimmy Carter is okay, but he has undergone a liver operation to remove a little something in his liver that shouldn't be there. They're saying he'll be fine. It really was an elective kind of thing, but, you know, when a president has something like this, it's certainly worth noting. This is from The Anomalist, and a chupacabra, apparently, has hit a Russian village. Now, this is interesting. Dozens of chickens were slaughtered, the carcasses and feathers strewn about after what definitely looks like a violent encounter, and no blood. This would be a Linda item, no blood. These attacks were fast and accurate, leaving behind only one live chicken who can tell no stories, unfortunately. But they're thinking this looks very much like a chupacabra type of attack. All right. There is a prominent scientist now who I'm going to look for. Dr. Lanza is his name. And he thinks that consciousness, and I so agree to this, he thinks that consciousness may be the answer to everything. Everything. Wouldn't that be something? So we will seek him out, get him on the air, and ask all about it. All right, we're going to take a very quick break, I think. And when we get back, we're going to attempt to get to Stephen Bassett. Now, I'm not sure we're going to make it. For some reason, he hadn't been there. But Stephen, this music doesn't wake you up. Nothing will, buddy. Stephen Bassett, we're looking for you, and we'll be right back. This is Midnight in the Desert.
o'clock on the wild side of midnight. From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. Please call the show at 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Well, all right. We were to have Stephen Bassett and a congressman on tonight, but they're not here. So, open lines. Let's do... Oh, there is one more thing I want to do before open lines. Actually, a couple. It blows my mind, actually. You all know, I think, Stephen Greer, right? Stephen Greer, C. Zeddy, Stephen Greer. I understand he's made a lot of changes, by the way, in what he says now and believes. But that issue aside, I interviewed Stephen Greer over many, many years. And there was one time that Stephen told me that SETI, not C. SETI, but SETI, got a real hit that the public was not told about. Now, I had Seth Shostak on talk a little bit about this. And Seth did sort of put it off to, well, maybe it was a minor functionary or something like that that, you know, gave the information out. However, somebody sent me something today that came from, actually it's Stephen Greer's voice, but it came from a YouTube presentation, and it just knocked me for a loop. And I want you to listen, and listen very carefully to what Stephen Greer...
Now, I'm going to say something here because this is enough years after it happened. A few years ago, there was a show called Coast to Coast with Art Bell. And it was on the cover of Time magazine, and I was one of his favorite guests. And when I'd be on that show, it really lit things up at certain agencies. And one time I was on his show a few years back towards the end of his career there. And this issue came up, and I said, well, you know, I have a source high up in SETI that confirms to me that they, in fact, have received interplanetary signals, but in a kind of phased, not normal array. It was kind of a pulsed array, and that it was kept secret and covered up. And the SETI people are furious. Subsequently, Seth Shostak got on the show and just said, well, Dr. Greer knew what he was talking about, and he probably talked to some volunteer computer operator because we have all this network of volunteers. What Art Bell didn't know and what Seth Shostak didn't know, which I'm going to say now because it's enough water gone under the bridge, is that the guy who told me that was the founder of the SETI project and the Drake equation, Dr. Drake. He told me that they had that contact. Moreover, a man who had been one of Carl Sagan's best friends, the best man at his wedding, confirmed it. And he had been present when the WOW signal came in at Harvard.
So, you can imagine how that blew me away, and you can imagine, by the way, Seth Shostak is scheduled for the show. So, oh my goodness, I about flipped when I heard that. I mean, I really flipped. So, okay, we're going to do open lines. That's what we're going to do, and anything you want to talk about is fair game. And by the way, I'm looking for a witch. I want to say this again and be very, very clear. I am looking for a real witch. Now, I'm looking for a witch who believes in real magic, casting spells, cauldron stirring, broom riding, all the things you associate with a witch. You know, the shoes sticking out from the house would not be pink, let's put it that way. Probably be a black shoe. So I'm looking for that kind of a witch. If you are one of them, or if you know one of them, please email me. I am Art Bell at artbell.com. pretty easy, right? ArtBell@ArtBell.com. That said, what do you want to talk about? Anything is fair game. You know, all right, let me go ahead and do this. You remember the other night we were talking about experiences that we've had that we haven't talked about? All right, it was about 3, maybe 4 weeks ago now. And I thought that this subject had been talked to death, and frankly, I think it has. Except I just had the experience, and I'm talking about what I can only call a shadow person. So let me tell you what happened to me, okay? And then we'll get to the phones. I was sitting in my ham shack. That's the place I've got all my ham radio gear and computers and stuff in the house. Now separate from my studio, where I am now. And I had been working at the computer. You know, we talk show hosts do a lot of working at computers because we get a lot of email and guests and producers and everything. And so I'd been staring at the screen for a while, and I mention that because I think it might have something to do with what happened. I suddenly saw movement to my right. And I just looked over to the right, and there was a figure there. And I don't mean just, a figure. It was the shadow of a being. It was the shadow of something. And it just scared the you-know-what out of me. And I looked again, it wasn't there. And I looked behind, I started looking around the room. I looked behind me, and there it was. Boom, there it was, and boom, it was gone. And I was sitting there in shock, and it appeared to the left of me. And I completely lost it, folks. Everybody was asleep in the house, so I'll tell you the truth. I went into where we store firearms and got one. And I went through the whole house. I went through the garage. I went through the yard. I got out my big 5 gazillion candle power light, started poking around with that. It just scared me to death. So I guess I've seen what else do you call it? Shadow person? I guess. First time in my life I've had this experience. And here is what I think. And I only just think this. When you spend a long time staring at a computer screen, it begins to change your eyes, if not your brain. Haven't you ever noticed that? That when you spend hours in front of a computer screen, something begins to change in you. It's perhaps subtle. It's tiring. But I think there's a change behind just subtle and tiring. I don't know what it is. It may be a different, the refresh rate of the computer screen. Or it may have nothing to do with computers at all. It just may be that these things are here. But what the hell are they? I mean, you start thinking about it. What are they? Are these entities of some kind? Are they ghosts? I mean, another person could have seen this and have said, I saw a ghost. Right? I could have as easily come on tonight and said, I saw a ghost. But, through the years having talked about shadow people, that's what it looked like. Now, this being had human form, or something close to human form. If there were arms, they were down by the side. They weren't out. But there were legs. It's just enough to scare the you-know-what right out of you, and it did that. So, first to the right of me, then behind me, which was really freaky, and then to the left of me, and then I was so far out of there so fast. Whatever it's worth, I don't know what these things are, and I doubt anybody actually can document what they are, but now I know they are, I did Shadow People many, many years ago. What was it, back in the late 80s, 90s? So I remember the reports, I remember the drawings, I remember the descriptions, but I sure as heck never expected to see something like that. It was a... You know, I almost don't want to say human form, but it was close to a human form. That's the only way I can describe it. It was not solid. You could still see something through it. Maybe that added to the terror of it all. I don't know. But it utterly drove me nutty. All right, let me give you the numbers. With that, we can talk about anything you want. Public number for all of you is area code 952-225-5278. That's area code 952-225-5278. Now, beyond that public number, yes, you can get in on Skype, whether you're in America and Canada or in the world. Please take my advice. I will not give this lecture many more times, but I want to do it because it benefits all of you to hear clear audio. So if you've got, you know, a smartphone, it's so simple. Put Skype on your smartphone. Just put Skype on. And then once you've done that, if you're in North America or Canada, set it up to call MITD 51. Oh, let me get that wrong. MITD 51. And then you can go to the, you can go to your phone, and you can do it right now. Go to your contacts, and you'll see MITD 51 in there. You can hit it and call us free. If you're outside North America, Canada, and the U.S., it's MITD 55. MITD 55. Let us begin and say, hello, Trey. You are on the air on Skype.
Hey, Art. It's interesting that you brought up the shadow people.
Yeah.
About 2 or 3 months ago, I was sitting outside smoking on my porch, typing on Belgab, as usual. And I looked across myself, across the parking lot, and saw what looked like maybe a 7 or 8 foot tall shadow of a person just sort of like meld into the ground.
Yeah.
The lower half of the body was not there. And it looked like it ducked down almost as if it had recognized me seeing it and was trying to hide. And at first, in my mind, immediately I thought we'd had a bunch of break-ins and it's just somebody creeping around the parking lot.
At least I had a whole body. I don't want half a body of anything. That's
no good.
I'm telling you, though, this scared me so badly.
I was completely terrified. I froze for a moment. I didn't know what to do. And I just sort of casually backed up, like, you know, like, hopefully he doesn't notice what I'm doing.
Okay, so question. Mm-hmm. What do you think these things are?
I don't know. Maybe this has something to do with time travel, too, possibly. Maybe we're seeing echoes of other things and that were and may be.
You know, things that were, that's a pretty good guess, actually. Things that were. I wonder if there's sort of a lingering echo of things that were.
It's very possible.
Maybe it was even me at some earlier time.
Don't do that to me. Now I'm not going to be able to go to sleep tonight.
Well, it could be. It could be me or anybody else, but whatever it was, you know, when these things happen to you, you're not the same after it.
Absolutely not. It's bizarre, and I don't really believe in this sort of thing, and it's just so odd to have that happen.
Well, you know, there's nothing like having it happen to you to make you a believer.
Exactly. Hey, Art, can I give you a movie recommendation?
You may.
Have you seen the movie Pontypool?
What is it again?
It's called Pontypool, and actually make a good guess.
I haven't seen it. Why?
It's about a radio DJ and the power of words, and I don't know, it's maybe sort of zombie-ish. I don't know. It's a pretty neat picture, and it has a lot to say, and the book's pretty good, too.
Most of the movies they've made about talk hosts are...
Well, you're the ultimate talk host to me. When I think of talk hosts, I see you smoking and wearing like black at your computer. You know, that's the romanticized idea.
All right. Well, here, I'll give you the truth. The truth is, I've got these electronic cigarettes now. Anybody who has been a smoker all their life will learn very quickly that they either give it up, the tobacco version, or else. And when I say or else, I guess you know what I mean, right? It's going to get you. Let's go to, I think, Lockport, New York. You have achieved airdom on Midnight in the Desert. Extinguish your device and proceed. Turn that off, please.
Okay.
All the way off. Very good.
It's off.
All right, good. Welcome to the program.
Yes, how are you, Art? How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
My name is Steve Legace, calling you from Lockport, New York.
Yes, sir.
I heard you talking about the shadow people. Well, I'm 50 years old, and I seen one the first time when I was 3 years old, and again for the last time on a Tuesday morning, August 16th, 2011, in my room. Mm-hmm. The thing had orange eyes. It locked up my body. It was 5:30 in the morning. It locked up my body for 5 minutes. Now, throughout my whole life, this thing gave me some kind of, like, special where I could see the future and see things. And I'd be able to tell people something was going to happen.
I didn't
and
get
it always
yeah,
happened.
That's cool. I didn't get any of that. I got scared out of my wits is what I got.
I hear you. You know what? And at first it scared me, too. And then I realized 3 days ago and up until today that it was a positive experience for me. And I kicked myself in the ass. I didn't know it could read my mind when I was sitting there looking at it for the 5 minutes.
Well, at least I can report I didn't shoot a shadow person.
You don't want to shoot it, no.
No,
hurt us.
Yeah, I hear you.
For Dark Matter News, I'm Leo Ashcraft. Nearly 50,000 customers were without power across southern Ontario after an intense storm battered the province on Sunday, bringing heavy winds, rain, hail, and possible funnel clouds. The outages were spread over an area from Lake Huron to Toronto. The utility company Toronto Hydro is reporting multiple outages across the city, including one at Yorkdale Shopping Center. Elsewhere, the wild weather blew down trees, canceled a music festival, and according to the Ontario Provincial Police, sent six people to the hospital when a tent collapsed near Proton Station, a community about 50 kilometers southeast of Owen Sound. There were also reports of funnel clouds near Orangeville, north of Toronto, earlier in the day. The Ontario Provincial Police said it has received many reports of downed trees and power lines, but no reports of serious damage. Due to safety concerns, the Veld Music Festival that was being held at Downsview Park in Toronto was called off. If you think this was a normal storm, take a look at the photos snapped over Toronto at darkmatternews.com. The plane crash, which killed three members of Osama bin Laden's family in Hampshire in the United Kingdom, is said to have taken place in near-perfect conditions, raising suspicions about the incident. Three members of the bin Laden family, as well as the pilot, died when their private jet crashed near the end of the runway. But The Guardian has raised questions over the crash, as the plane was equipped with high-tech gear to guide it in safely. And Blackbush Airport has precision approach pathway indicators, adding that it's not the first time there has been a bin Laden family plane crash. They say it is, in fact, the third time members of the bin Laden family have been killed in a plane crash. Osama's father was killed when his Beechcraft 18 crashed in Saudi Arabia in 1967 while on his way home to marry his 23rd wife. Salem bin Laden, the half-brother of Osama, died in 1988 when his aircraft drifted into high-voltage power lines in San Antonio, Texas. A hitchhiking robot that captured the hearts and fans of worldwide met its demise in the United States. The Canadian researchers who created Hitchbot as a social experiment said that someone in Philadelphia damaged the robot beyond repair. pair early Saturday, ending its first American tour after about 2 weeks. The kid-sized robot set out to travel cross-country after successfully hitchhiking across Canada in 26 days last year in parts of Europe. It's immobile on its own, relying on the kindness of strangers.
Please pick me up and put me in your vehicle. I am Hitchbot, a hitchhiking robot.
Oh, we got to get to me.
Those who picked it up often passed it to other travelers or left it where others might notice it. It started in Marblehead, Massachusetts on July 17th with its thumb raised skyward, a grin on its digital face and tape wrapped around its cylindrical head that read San Francisco or bust.
Maybe I can make a cameo appearance in a film when we get to California. I will make my big Hollywood debut. I can see it now. Hitchbot, the first robot TV star.
The robot bounced around the Boston area and was briefly taken to sea. One day, it took in a Red Sox game, checking off one of the items on the bucket list created for it. But Hitchbot never made it off the East Coast. The creators were sent an image of the vandalized robot Saturday, but couldn't track its location because the battery was dead. They said they don't know who destroyed it or why. The robot was designed to be a talking travel companion and could toss out factoids and carry limited conversation. A GPS in the robot tracked its location, and a camera randomly snapped photos about every 20 minutes to document its travels. During past travels, the robot attended a comic convention and a wedding, and it had its portrait painted in the Netherlands. It once spent a week with a heavy metal band. With the robot destroyed, Zeller said she was concerned about children who loved Hitchbot and followed it on social media. Her team doesn't plan to release the last photo of it to protect young fans who might be distraught. I'm Leo Ashcraft for Dark Matter News.
Feel free to sniff our packets. Then, with a smile on your face, please call the show at 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
This song goes out to the Donald. They had the, the first debate with, how many was it? 15? 18? A whole bunch of potential candidates, right? Not one of them even mentioned the name Trump. Not one. So, Donald, this one's for you.
Far, we've been traveling far. Without a home, not without a star.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. We're in open lines. And our guest tonight was a no-show, or late, at any rate, not there. So, sad, but I think we'll make it with open lines. You and I will make it just fine. I'm going to bring on for a second my new producer for a very good reason. Hey, new producer. New producer, are you
good
there?
Good evening, Art. What are you up to this evening?
Well, number one, I wanted to introduce this pleasant voice to everybody as my new producer. That's one thing. And your name is Heather Wade, right?
Yes, it is.
It is, yes. And the reason that I brought you on is because you're about the only person in the world that I have told, and how long ago was it, Heather? I told you about this encounter I had with this damn shadow thing.
Oh, I think about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I told you about 2 weeks ago. That was actually before we even got on the air, right?
Yes,
yeah, okay.
It was.
That was before.
It was a few days before you got back on the air before the 20th.
That's
and
right.
You were terrified.
Yeah, that's right. And it was a few days prior to that that it had happened. So I just sort of wanted to bring you on for two reasons. One, to say, listen to the voice of my new producer, because if you're a guest, you'll probably be hearing it. And number two, I told her my story. I wasn't going to say it. I wasn't going to do it on the air, but I finally thought, what the heck? And I just thought I would verify that I did, in fact, tell you then.
Yes, you did. And what did I? What was my suggestion? I think the audience needs to hear this.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know you said that. I'm always really hesitant because I do a show on this kind of thing. When finally something does happen to me, I don't know, I feel hesitant to talk about it because it sounds like it's cooked or something, but it's not. It really happened. Heather, you're a sweetheart. Thank you for coming on the air, verifying my story and all that stuff.
Anytime.
All right, take care. That's Heather Wade, my new producer. So there you have it. It really did. It scared me as much as anything has scared me in my whole life. I guess, to be fair, I was in shock after the UFO incident, actually a couple of them. Shock, but not as scared as I was. That night, I was scared. I did. I grabbed a gun. Not ashamed to say that, because I had no idea, you know, no idea what I was dealing with. I still don't. No clue. It's completely and utterly unsettling. And here is, I believe, Debbie. Hello, Debbie.
Hey, Art. How are you?
Well, I guess you can hear how I am.
Well, I'm really enjoying the show, and it's really great to have you back.
Thank you.
Anyways, I've got two stories. I guess I'll let you pick. One is a shadow person thing that happened to me back in the 80s.
Really?
And, yep. And the other one was an out-of-body experience that I had back on May 20th, equally as amazing.
Yeah, but right now, let's go with the shadow person, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Can you describe to me what your shadow person or what it looked like?
You know what? I know it's going to sound corny, but it looked like Dick Tracy. Do you remember the Dick Tracy cartoons?
I do.
From the 60s,
of course.
They were in the funny papers.
Sure.
Yeah. It looked like Dick Tracy, only in the shadows. And this being would stand at the end of my bed any night that my husband didn't come to bed with me.
Oh, good Lord.
So, yeah, he would stay up and watch television sometimes.
Well, it must have been the point. The first couple of times, you must have been dragging your husband into the bedroom.
I was so, I can't tell you how terrifying it actually was. And I had three small children at the time. So I was exhausted by 8 o'clock, and I would go in, and sometimes I would just fall asleep. And this presence was, you know, you could tell that someone was there. It would wake you up. It would wake me up out of a dead sleep, and yep. I would see him standing at the end of the bed.
Well, that's even more horrifying because you're at that point you're between sleep and being very awake, and, boy, if that doesn't give you a heart attack, I don't know what will.
Well, it was really, really frightening, and, you know, and this went on for, I don't know, I'd say years.
Okay. Did your Dick Tracy years?
Years.
Did he have arms, legs, discernible, everything?
Only thing I could tell was, you know, this person was in the shadows and just, you know, like I could see a hat and a face and kind of like just shoulders, square shoulders in long and black. I couldn't discern any arms or legs, but what I later determined and what I later found out, which is the really interesting part of the story.
Yes.
Is that someone very close to me had put a hex on me.
Oh.
And I wasn't a big believer in hexes. But I got it on pretty good word that this thing that followed me for so many years was a familiar. And this was a male that had put this hex on me. Was his familiar.
Was this some male that you had felt you had treated him incorrectly or something?
I had not. The male figure was actually my father.
Oh, your father?
my father.
Why would your father put a hoax on you?
A hex.
Or a hex. Sorry.
Well, I married someone that he didn't like.
Ah.
And that person was killed in a motorcycle accident, and he sold him the motorcycle.
Now, dads don't generally put hexes on daughters. I mean, it just, it's not one of those things that a dad would do. Your dad must have been, well, what's the right word?
Well, it was hateful. Spiteful.
Definitely hateful. And you'd think he would put the hex on the husband.
He did, and he was killed.
Okay, so it was the both of you, really.
It was.
Yikes.
And there's many other things that go with that, and I'm not going to go into all of those because it take an awfully long time. But anyways, the Dick Tracy shadow figure stayed with me for many years. And, you know, I tried to call in when you had Evelyn Paglini on several times, way back when.
Right. God bless her. I hope she is well. We are now looking for another Evelyn.
Well, I hope you find her. She really was a spiritual warrior, and I really admired her a lot. And I wanted to tell her my story so bad because, you know, she was so knowledgeable on, you know, these different groups and, you know, all of that.
This is why I want a real witch. Mm-hmm. They know,
yeah, a real one.
They know about spiritual warfare, and a lot of mm-hmm. people call themselves witches. You know, they're not spiritual warriors, and that's what I want, because, frankly, a lot of the serious things are battles.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Thank you so very much. I appreciate your call. Good talking to you. And again, anything you want to talk about is fair game tonight. That was a good one. That was definitely a good one. Can you imagine that? A hex on the both of them. What daddy would do that to his daughter? I could understand a hex on the guy. But his own daughter. Wow. Let's go. I don't know where I'm going. It doesn't really matter. It says anonymous. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
It's funny you're doing this topic. I was going to call you on Friday. A few years ago, I had a serious problem with the shadow nonsense.
What is this? It's so common.
I know what it is, and I can tell you how to see it for yourself, and then I can tell you how to get rid of it.
Getting rid of it, part of it, I want to hear right away.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like getting out of sleep paralysis. You know, the harder you fight it, the worse it gets. You have to relax and let go of the fear. And it's kind of the same thing with these things.
Right.
I saw one.
So how do you do that? Yeah. How do you get rid of fear? I mean, when you see something that is pretty much not of this world. I mean, you can see through it, and you can see other parts of the room, right? It's just a figure. I don't know how you conquer that fear, because it's just abnormal.
What I did was, the first time I saw the thing, it scared me to death. I mean, and I'm a fairly rational person, and I looked at this thing. I didn't blink. I didn't look away, because I assumed it was one of those things where, you know, my mind was mistaking shadows and making a shape that wasn't really there, like a coat rack looks like a guy standing there. Anyway, it wasn't that. And I never looked away from it, and the thing was standing in a stairwell, and it just kind of tipped back. And, you know, I got up, I turned all the lights, I got a gun, I freaked out. The next day I was telling a buddy at work about it, and I never heard tell of a shadow person my entire life. And I was describing it to him, and he said, you know, that's a real thing. You go to look it up on the Internet. People have seen these things. So I went home and looked it up. I thought, well, this is horrible. So the more research I did, I never found anybody that got hurt by one. There was never nobody was sent to a hospital by a shadow person. So I was resolved that the next time I saw one, I was going to do the same thing I did with sleep paralysis. It didn't hurt me the first time I saw it. I'm just going to assume it's not going to hurt me the second time I see it. I'm going to relax.
And so you did?
I did. And you can do this, too, if you can get rid of the fear. And the trick is to not look away.
Okay. What happened?
Okay.
You relaxed, and then what?
I relaxed. The second time I saw it, it was a praying mantis. And I'm
wonderful. That would just cheer me right up.
Well, it sounds ridiculous. And what's weird is same height, same place, same kind of like standing in the shadows, but this time it was,
praying mantis.
praying-ass like thing on the wall.
Yeah, okay, so small, like you would have on the wall, or big?
No, it was like 8 feet tall. I mean, it was terrible. So
I'd just relax away with that.
Well, I looked that one up, too, and apparently in the area in which I was living at the time, that was something that people saw commonly. But anyway, I guess it has something more to do with the extraterrestrial experience. But all of that aside...
I'm sorry, I've got to interrupt you. I'm 70. If what I saw had turned into a praying mantis, I'd be dead now.
I don't know.
You're talking this relaxation stuff. You're going to have to do better than that. I don't, you know, once it turns into, I relax with the shadow, and it turns into a praying mantis, and you're telling me that was a good finish.
Well, yes and no. Now that I knew what I was dealing with, I mean, do a little more research, and I could, the internet's your friend, but I went and did a little more research and found out this was another common experience that many people had had, and again, nobody had been hurt by one of these things.
Sometimes the internet's your friend. I remember back when I started this whole damn topic in the first place, long ago, I went and looked it up on the internet, and all it had was terrifying pictures of these shadow people. I didn't even think it was real when somebody first brought it up. I said, shadow person, ha, 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 ha. It's all over the internet.
But anyway, the way to get rid of it is positivity, and it sounds kind of cliched. The way I got rid of it was with Howard Jones music in 80s comedies. But it kind of feeds on, it seemed to get worse the more afraid I was. But the less consumed, because at the time when I was seeing these things, I was miserable, my life sucked, and I was upset about a few things, and it seemed to kind of show up more often the angrier I was. So I consumed myself with, you know, I made sure I wasn't watching anything dark on television. I surrounded myself with, you know, upbeat music. And anyway, it just kind of went away after that. I still see one occasionally, but I'm not afraid of it. It doesn't bother me. It's not a mess. But it seems to be you need to relax. You're full of fear.
I would like to say that you have calmed me right down, but you have not. And nevertheless, I appreciate your attempt. Thank you very much.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care. No, that didn't do it. I mean, the shadow person is terrifying enough. And then see it move or have it move on you and then be first to your right, then behind you, and then to your left. I just fled. Once I saw it to the left and it disappeared, and it did, I fled. And, I've already told you. I went, got a gun, went all around. Was prepared to try a shot if I saw it, and I didn't. You know, that's probably how you end up shooting the wrong person or something. God, it was terrifying. And if I had managed to somehow suddenly relax, do you honestly think this thing, had it turned into a gigantic 8-foot praying mantis, would have relaxed me? No. Not even close. It would have finished me off for sure. Once again, if you're outside North America, that means America und Canada, anywhere in the rest of the world, it's really easy to get through. Just call us on Skype at MITD55, outside the U.S. Love to hear from you. Stacked full of calls here in the U.S. And speaking of calls, in Ottawa something or another, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Hart. It's Rob from Ottawa.
Hey,
Roswell's to you.
Thank you.
I'm, I guess, one of your tasty Canadian time travelers.
Welcome.
Thank you. The first call you got after you made your
mission.
Yeah, you made your mission public. I don't know if it's you asked if it's a shadow person or a ghost. I don't know. I'll tell you what happened to me quickly. I've seen, you know, the corner of your eye thing.
Yes.
You see something there. We've all seen that. What made mine different, this thing went across the room. It went from left to right, like it didn't want to be seen.
Yeah, there you have it. I want to add something just real quickly.
Yeah.
This was not a corner of your eye thing. I mean, when I first noted that something was there present, it was a corner of my eye, but then I turned toward it and I saw the damn thing. Then I saw it behind me. It had form. It was real. It disappeared. It was then to the left of me and then gone.
No, mine was just like the other caller. It had no legs, no head. It was about waist high. It was a dark object. We had gone to Vancouver. We were staying in an older hotel, nice hotel, 1912, and we were on the fifth floor. I say that because there's no headlights at that floor. The drapes are very, very heavy, so I'm not getting any light. And I just happened to get up 2 in the morning, went to the bathroom, went into the small little kitchenette, grabbed some orange juice. Now, the reason I wasn't afraid probably because I was half asleep. Mm. I took my slug of orange juice, and I was peering in from the kitchenette back in the living room, this thing just, right across the room. And I went, oh, okay, that's kind of interesting. And I wasn't afraid probably because I was, half asleep. So I lied down. My wife's there. She's, not moving at all. And it's a king bed. She's not moving at all. So I lie down, okay, and I'm just thinking about this thing. And then at the end of the bed, I feel some pressure. Not a lot of pressure.
Yes.
But a little bit of pressure.
Yes.
Now, I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to look back. I'm thinking now, there's no way I'm going to look back. And I figured, okay, if this thing doesn't touch me, I'm not going to look back, and I'll just let it go. And I fell asleep, but there was definitely pressure at the end of my bed as well.
How did you fall asleep? That'd be the last thing in the world I could do after that.
Well, I was tired. It was 2:30 in the morning. I felt a little pressure. I didn't want to look back. I just was afraid to see what I would find. So
I'm going to guess you're on a Bluetooth, right?
I'm on a Bluetooth. No, yeah. I'm on a cell phone. Yeah,
cell phone. Okay.
Yeah. So, I figured as long as the pressure doesn't become any more so, or this thing doesn't grab me, I'm not going to look back.
So you fell asleep, and when you woke up, everything was all right.
Everything was fine. I told my wife about it. I thought, and then I started trying to put pieces together. Okay, well, the curtains are heavy. There's no light. We're up on the fifth floor. I figured this, whatever this thing was, didn't want to be seen.
Yeah.
I figured that it probably it was a beautiful suite, and it was a good location. And I'm thinking maybe this entity liked that.
I got it. We've got a break. I've got to go. Thanks for the story, though.
Okay. Bye, Art.
I appreciate it. Take care. Well, whatever it was real. That's the one thing I know. It was real. This is Midnight in the Desert.
I'm riding in your car. You turn on the radio. You're pulling me close. I just say no. I say I don't like it, but you know I'm a liar. 'Cause when we kiss,
Midnight in the Desert is a wild trip across the Dazed Divisor. Get your ticket to ride by calling 1-952. Call Art. That's 1-952-225-5278.
Skype in America and Canada is MITD51. MITD51. Outside the U.S., yes, sir, it's a free call on Skype. MITD55. MITD55. That'll ring us up. Let me qualify something. When I said real, maybe I shouldn't have said real, because whatever it was, I couldn't run over and grab it, nor would have I done that.
but I don't know about real. It was something. It was of some substance. It was, you know, I want to say not of this earth, but I don't know that. It could be, it could have been a ghost, could have been a spirit, could have been a hex. I don't know. Well, let's see where to go. Let's try Stephen on Skype. Stephen, hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hi. Good to have you.
Really surprised I got on. I just wanted to ask, you were talking about Dr. Greer before, and I actually wanted to ask you a question.
Did you hear what he said?
Yes, I did. I'm actually, the reason I listen to your show is actually because I, because I'm actually a big fan of Dr. Greer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's really, what got me into, like, I guess ETs in general.
Right.
I actually just wanted to know your opinion on, what, like, is, like, the new things that you're saying that, that he's saying.
Well, first of all, for goodness sakes, that is what he said. I played it. It came from YouTube. So he he absolutely said it. I mean,
his message has like changed more recently.
Yes. And I have to have him on and hear it. But what he did say shocked the hell out of me. I mean, come on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
He is in essence telling us, look, SETI got a real signal. They kept it secret.
Mm-hmm.
That's no minor matter.
No.
So have we heard already from them is the question.
It's very true. Very true.
All right.
I guess you'd have to wonder, really,
how
if
would,
they did receive, like they said, like a different type of signal.
Yeah. How would you summarize what Dr. Greer is saying now versus what he said all those years ago?
I think his understanding of the subject has evolved just like everyone else's.
I think he believes they are, A, already here.
Absolutely.
And, B, he's much more interested in having communication with them than he is in doing the things he did years ago.
Absolutely. What I've gleaned from what he said is that he's more interested in less listening to the disclosure because he doesn't think that's really a viable possibility. Or not so much that, but so much he thinks that.
You know, that's what we were going to do tonight. We were going to have Stephen Bassett on, right? He's been working on this disclosure project for years and years and years. And frankly, I was going to ask him at the beginning of the interview, Stephen, while I applaud your efforts, I don't think we're ever going to know. It's never going to be disclosed unless, I don't know, unless some president comes forward, maybe Trump. Somebody who is, you know, just immune to the talk, and maybe Trump would be immune to the talk that all presidents are apparently given.
I mean, maybe. I don't really think Donald Trump will be elected, despite the fact that I
probably
think he's probably the best GOP candidate that's there.
It's all fun watching anyway. I just can't wait for the debate.
Favorite
time, man.
Yeah. Election season, it's always great.
All right, brother. Thank you very much for the call, and take care. It's going to be, I just can't wait for the debate. Unfortunately, you know, it's going to be one with rules. You know it is, right? Debate's going to have rules. You can speak for 1 minute, Mr. Candidate, and then, or 3 minutes, and then so-and-so over there will have 1 minute to rebut what you said. And then, if necessary, we'll give you 30 seconds to rebut what he said. Bummer debate. I want a real debate. And, oh, by the way, while we're on the subject of debates, I'm supposed to have one coming. Now, this may sound laughable to some of you, but I'm telling you, it's no laughing matter. There are people out there who believe with religious fervor that our Earth is flat, that the scientists are all wet, they bring with them evidence, they think the Earth is flat, and they say they can prove it. And so I thought, okay, fine, great. Bring on one of these devotees. Let's get a scientist. Let's have a real debate. That'd be a real debate. I'd love to see one on TV, too, wouldn't you? With only two or three candidates when it's finally narrowed down to that. God, I'd like to see the real thing. All right, let's go to the phones and somebody calling themselves Dimensional.
Hi, this is actually Nathan from Austin.
Hey, Nathan.
Hi. I actually had a story. I grew up in Michigan, and I was about in middle school, I think, and me and my friend were staying up late, And I was looking out the window, and I saw this. He lived on a Christmas tree farm, you know, pine trees.
Right.
And I looked out the window, and I saw this black figure jump from one pine tree to another. It kind of looked like a person.
Right.
And I told my friend, you know, hey, look, I just saw this thing. You know, do you know anything about it? And he said, no. So I thought it was crazy, so I kept watching it, and I saw it again. So I was like, you know, what's going on here? So I told my friend again, and, you know, we started watching for, like, maybe an hour or so.
Right.
And then we saw another one. So I was like, hey, you know, I have to wake up your dad because I was kind of afraid. And his dad was kind of like he was a farmer, so, you know, he would have been mad we were up late, and he probably would have made the situation worse because he had a bit of a temper. So we kept looking, and, you know, we saw it again. Like, all right, so we eventually woke up his dad. And he went out on the porch and looked around with a flashlight and everything, and he didn't see anything. So the next night we go out there, and there's a bunch of
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see if we can get him back. You still there? Huh. We lost him somehow. I'm so sorry. That happens. You just suddenly get cut off. Sorry about that. Let's try Cameron. Hello, Cameron.
Good evening, Art. How am I coming in?
You're coming in? Okay. And that last caller is welcome to call back, and, you know, the rule is suspended for him. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, go ahead, Cameron.
Well, yeah, just sitting here having a beer, thinking about the shadow people thing that you're talking about, and it's kind of funny, I've seen things before too, but everything runs on frequencies. You know, if you have the right adjustment of electromagnetic energy, you can see the aurora. Infrasound, that could have an effect on what you saw, because some people with the right lighting, if they have a certain type of infrasound, like the sound that you hear in a lion's roar,
right,
is also the same sound made by a tornado. Or
okay, here's my theory. And you're welcome to either reject it or explore it. It is that once you've stared at a computer screen long enough with that refresh frequency...
Well, that's what I was getting to. Okay. It might not be that. It could be something electromagnetic with the screen or the lighting. But, like, what was it, Van Gogh or somebody who painted all those pictures with the eerie blue hue to it?
Right.
Or, no, Claude Monet. That's what it was. I have it pulled up here. Yeah, they had this really eerie blue hue, and... if you mess with the human eye just enough, for instance, with severe cataracts, you can see ultraviolet light.
Uh-huh.
So it could be that it does mess with people's eyes.
It could be that these, whatever they are, appear in ultraviolet and are not seen
normally. Well, maybe not ultraviolet, but what I'm saying is everything runs on frequencies, and it could be that it adjusts your eyesight and your perception. Just like people who take the DMT stuff, they can see these machine-illed entities that hop in and out of them and mess with their heads.
Well, that adjusts everything. You know, really adjusts you.
Everything runs on frequencies. So one frequency, something should transfer from energy to matter, for instance. You know.
Well, I don't want it to do that. It was all enough matter for me. I could see through it, so it wasn't matter. And frankly, if it had turned into matter... I'd have been going for the gun right away. Oh, God, it scared me.
Another quick thing before you hang up. You know that Forrest Bird, he was an inventor that invented the iron lung that saved all those polio kids. He died just the other day.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
And I
if you'll take the time to look into him when you're not busy.
All right. Thank you very, very much for the call. When I'm not busy. Goodness, when is that? When you do a radio program, you're pretty busy a lot of the time going outside the country, I think, to Ireland. Hello there.
Hello. My name's Liam. Calling from Cork, Ireland. Correct.
Cork, Ireland. And you're bored. It says bored.
Yeah. I said that a long time ago.
Really?
Bored that day, as you can imagine.
So you were having a bad day, and so you put your emotion up there.
Yep.
All right.
Six, many Roswells.
Right, thank you. So you've been listening. You know what we're talking about. Do you see this sort of thing there?
Next to my computer, I have a picture, and you can kind of see in the background through my window, my back garden. And one or two times, I think I might have seen something black out there, but when I look, it's gone. So could have been icing. Anyway, I was wondering... about ghost matter. If there's nothing set in stone, would you think about Midnight in the Cemetery or something like that?
Oh, you mean for the ghost show?
Yeah.
Midnight in the Cemetery is pretty good.
I've been thinking about it for a while.
But, you know, the traditional name has been Ghost to Ghost, right?
Yeah.
Which,
of
course, came from Coast
places,
to Coast.
As you can imagine, so I found you.
Well, it's a good point. Midnight in the Graveyard. I will take that under advisement, and maybe I'll change it.
Okay.
Of course, we're not technically in a graveyard, and given the opportunity to do a remote from a graveyard, I don't think I would.
I wouldn't either. Probably not on Halloween night.
one question. Yes, is Ireland a ghost-like place?
Some say it's, now I'm quoting people, but some say it's one of the most haunted countries on the planet.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've heard. All right, well, listen.
I haven't seen much. It's not nice.
Count your lucky Irish stars. That's what I would say.
So far, I don't have any.
All right, thank you very much. You know, one of the cool things about being on the program is that there is about a 30-second time differential between when we actually talk to you live and then when you finish your call. If you turn your radio on or your stream or whatever, you will hear your call. You'll hear the last at least 30 seconds of your call. So once again, that gentleman from Ireland, if you're outside the country, we'd love to have you. You're probably, if it's in Europe, having a cup of coffee right now or tea. And you're welcome to call us at MITD55 on Skype, MITD55. Let us go to, well, no, we better not. I guess I better get it out of the way. We've got a break coming up, so let me do that. We're in open lines, and we're talking about anything you want. Now, I did bring up the subject of shadow people because I just couldn't keep it inside any longer. I'm Art Bell. This is Midnight in the Desert.
Between dusk and dawn, from the high desert, it's Art Bell's Midnight in the Desert. Now, here's Art.
Here I am. We're talking about, I don't know, anything you want to. It's open lines. I guess I launched us into a bit of a discussion about shadow people because it just scared the tar out of me. I mean, that's the only way to put it. So it goes in now to the bin of experiences that I've had in my life that count as, I guess, paranormal. And outside the country somewhere, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I hear you. I'll tell you what. Get good and close to, like, the microphone part of your computer, if you would.
Okay. My name is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
I'm calling from Sydney, Australia.
Sydney, Australia. Excellent. Welcome to the program.
I'm going to make this real quick because I do childcare, and I just had to give you a call. I had an incident back in 2006 where I woke up in the middle of the night. I think it was around 2 a.m., and there was a very tall, dark creature standing between myself and the television. I was in bed.
Michelle, did it have form, or what kind of form did you see?
It had form. It had a long cloak on, and it had a hood.
Oh.
It nearly reached the ceiling of my bedroom, and it said, everything will be all right. Go back to sleep. And with that, I went back to sleep.
Really?
And when I woke in the morning, I could not understand why I went to sleep, as I was terrified.
I'm with you.
Absolutely terrified.
Obviously, yes. It put you to sleep.
Yes, it did.
And
most definitely.
Probably the kindest thing it could have done for you.
Yes, and I think so.
It sounds like your charges are climbing the wall, actually.
Yes, they are. Sorry. As soon as you want to make a call, they want to come inside. But I've had many other experiences, unnatural experiences, or natural, I'm not sure. But that one was very concerning to me.
I bet it was. What would you, if you had to guess about what was that? An entity, a ghost, a shadow person?
It had solid form. It was there. I don't think it was a ghost. Somehow, I don't think it was a shadow person. To this day, I don't know what it was. And I'll tell you another experience is when I was in my early 20s. I was living in the city in Sydney with my boyfriend. And I woke up one morning, went and had a shower, and I found a whole lot of squiggles. Something like somebody had been drawing with red texter,
yes,
or red pen on my stomach. Now, I'm a black girl. And so, but it was very, very bright.
Wow.
And I thought it was my boyfriend. So I got out of the shower, went and said, woke him up, and I said, what were you doing in the middle of the night drawing on my stomach?
Right.
I was very angry. And he said, don't be ridiculous. I did nothing of the kind. But what was most peculiar was that all my life, I had an outie belly button, very predominantly out. And that from that moment on, he said, what happened to your belly button? It was gone.
Wow. A positive experience. Kind of.
I was happy with my answer. Thank you very much.
I love it. All right. Thank you so much for the call.
Oh, I'm very surprised that I got through. First time I tried. Thank you.
Right. You call again. Thank you. Pretty easy to get through if you're outside the U.S. and Canada because, there's just not as many people. If you think about it, in Europe, for example, it's very early morning right now. It's easier for the Aussies, the Japanese, maybe people in Hong Kong to get through, maybe Thailand. We're at a better time of day there. Who wants to call a talk show when they're just, sitting at the kitchen table with their first cup of tea or something like that? So, all right, so where to go? Let's go to, I think, Buffalo, New York. You are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Like everyone, I'm so happy that you're back.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back. You just don't know.
Yeah, well, we've missed you. Two things. The other day you were talking about the car out of your window. It was going to be hit.
Yes.
And I tried calling in how you had that strong, strong feeling.
Sure.
And I wanted to mention the fact that I had that one time about 30 years ago where I was keeping score at the bowling alleys, and the little voice said, buy a ticket for the 50-50 split.
Right.
And I never spent money on it. And I bought two tickets, and everybody was like, well, who's the winner? Who's the winner? And I go, I am. And they were like, well, how do you know? And I go, well, the ticket's in my pocket. I just know. And I did win. So that confirms your story with the car. But as far as the ghost thing, there's a place in south of Buffalo. It's Jamestown, and it's called Lilydale.
Right.
I've gone there for seminars. And when you're dealing with spiritualism and mediumship, and they have prayers that you can open the door to communication, and they train you to become intuitive. I mean, we all are. But there's a prayer, and I don't know if do you want me to give you the prayer over the air?
I'll tell you what. Email it to me.
I don't have computer.
I'm willing.
What? It's a real simple one. You surround yourself with God's white. I always say a prayer when I'm driving. Almighty God, surround me with the white light of your protection 3 times for body, soul, and mind.
How about praying to keep those idiots away from me?
Well, you know, and the thing is, when I have dreams,
my problem, I always reach out with the negative, you know.
You reach out and you send them back to, if they don't come with the highest good and your best interest and intention, you can empower yourself and send them back. If they don't come with the highest good for your intention.
Well, let's put it this way. When you're doing 65 miles an hour, let's say, on the highway,
mm-hmm.
somebody passes you doing about 80, and then they slow down in front of you to about 50, mm-hmm. I want to send them somewhere, but nowhere good.
Well, you know what? That's where it's kind of crazy. You can call me nuts, but when I surround myself with the white light, I'm on the thruway, and I go 60. Speed limit's 55. I'm not going crazy, but they're all passing me anyway, even if I am going 5 over. But when I'm driving, it's uncanny how I look in the rear view, I look in the front, and I probably have about a 4-car space in front and behind me.
That's good.
I don't know what it is, but it's crazy how they... I have a circle around me. They're driving... There's 20 in front, there's 20 behind, but I've got a circle of freedom around me.
Okay, so you think that a circle of protection keeps trouble away?
Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. Well, it's either that. Thank you very, very much for the call. It's either that or, I don't know, like a machine gun mounted in the right place, which everybody who drives a lot wants.
Well, you know, you...
I'm sorry, that's just me. That's really just me.
All right, you're being funny and you're being, you know,
I'm really not. I'm being serious. I don't have a positive attitude about it. If someone does that to me, it's like I could strangle them. I could, with my bare hands, watch the breath go out of their bodies.
Yeah, that's not good, though.
I know.
Not good, but, you know, but you can practice it. You can surround yourself with white light. You can, any negative coming your way, return to sender.
Yeah. I mean, the only white light I want to see is the tail end of a Stinger missile headed toward them. I appreciate your efforts anyway. I'll give it a try. And listen, if white light works... If good, wonderful vibrations actually do the trick, I'm willing to give it a try. Thank you very much for the call. I think we're going to Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
Fine. Perplexed, but fine. Fine.
Glad to hear that. Well, my name is Matt, and I am calling from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. I just want to start by saying that it is an extreme honor to be able to speak with you, so thank you very much for taking my call.
It's an honor to be here to take it. Believe me, I am so glad to be here.
Well, everyone is so glad that you're back, so thank you for that as well.
All right.
But I just wanted to briefly discuss with you about a possible guest
okay.
that I would love to have you speak with.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure you might have heard of her. Her name is Dr. Judy Wood, and she is a PhD, and she's a brilliant woman. She has I don't think theory is quite the right word. She's come to believe through her own examination, through her own expertise, that the World Trade Center was destroyed by a high-energy weapon, a free-energy weapon.
The World Trade Centers, really. But we have all these high-resolution photographs of the airplanes crashing into them.
Well, she doesn't really speak so much about the airplanes. I know with 9/11, there's a lot of theories. There's a lot of information out there, a lot of differing opinions.
Oh, you're right about that, and there are. But we do have incontrovertible video proof of what hit them.
Right. Well, be that as it may, she discusses more about the collapse and what happened. I'm sure you're familiar with the Hutchinson effect. Did you ever speak with John Hutchinson?
Oh, yes.
Okay, right, yeah. She references the Hutchinson effect, and believe me, her research and her looking into this is so extensive. I wouldn't be able to do it justice here with this few short minutes that I have with you, but she's a fascinating guest. She's also caught the eye of many people, including Richard C. Hoagland, who's looked into this, and I don't know if you can say that he is a convert to her line of thinking, but I mean, it definitely, you know, caught his attention.
Well, are you aware of the fact that he's got a show that follows mine?
Absolutely. You know, Art, I used to fall asleep listening to you. Now I force myself to stay awake till 3 a.m. and I fall asleep to Richard. So he's got the pleasure now of being the one to lullaby me to sleep, so to speak.
I'm not sure if I should be honored or I think I am. In other words, you now stay awake for me and fall asleep with Richard.
I do. I do. Nothing against Richard. It's just, you know, the human body can only stay awake for so long, and, you know, your program is can't miss in my book, so.
Okay. All right. Well, bless your heart. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate your call, and listen to Richard. He'll be here when I'm all done, all right?
Very good. I just want to say real quickly, I think it's important to say that Dr. Wood doesn't go into so much the who or the why. She just goes into the what.
Gotcha. All right. I've got to go on that now. We'll be right back. This is Midnight in the Desert.
For Dark Matter News, I'm Leo Ashcraft. A woman in the UK who underwent a hysterectomy said she woke from surgery to find her doctor had removed two of her front teeth. Claire Jones, 47, of Newcastle, says she cannot believe that this happened and she still has not been able to get a straight answer from the hospital. Before the July 15th procedure, Jones had signed a declaration informing doctors at Royal Stroke University Hospital that she had one denture, which was then taken out. Doctors allegedly could not account for her additional missing teeth, which has now led to an investigation. A new jaw-dropping up-close video displays the eruption of the Piton de la Fournaise volcano, located on Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean near Madagascar. New footage of the eruption, which prompted evacuation on Friday, shows the fiery rivers of lava running down the slopes. The eruption lasted for 3 days before ending on Sunday, shortly after 11 a.m. local time. This is a World Heritage Site and is one of the most active volcanoes in the world. The volcanic activity hampered the work of Malaysian investigators examining suspected debris of the MH370 flight found by beachcombers on Reunion Island on Wednesday. Malaysian Airlines flight MH370 went missing on March 8, 2014, with 239 people on board, shortly after taking off from the Malaysian capital of Kuala Lumpur en route to Beijing. Its disappearance prompted a massive international search lasting more than a year in the South Indian Ocean, the China Sea, and the Gulf of Thailand. An ex-aerospace worker came forward and admitted that the chemtrail devices that are being installed on airplanes are actually being installed, and the fact that he was one of the installers. And he goes on to share details about what they installed. He said they gutted the plane, mounted the tanks, installed the cables and lines and spraying devices. He says he was a civilian worker supervised by the military. When they were finished, they were told that this was a test conducted by the German Aeronautics and Space Administration, meaning that the plane with spraying devices goes ahead while a second plane with measuring devices flies behind and conducts measurements. He said when they were finished with the installation, guys from the military came over and instructed them to wear full body protective clothing and breathing masks because they were now going to fill the tanks, and that the substances like aluminum sulfides or barium oxides would contain highly toxic nanoparticle-sized polymers. For additional information on chemtrails and the full story from World Truth TV, visit darkmatternews.com. Scientists have made the world's first white laser light. Since being invented in 1960, lasers have been put to use in all sorts of applications, from computers and printers to fiber optics and surgery. But for this entire period, there was one thing in particular that lasers simply could not do: produce white light. Now, a team of researchers has finally announced that they've managed just that, creating a device that can emit in any color across the visible spectrum, a requirement for white lasers. Normally, lasers can only produce a single wavelength, meaning that they are restricted to one particular color of light. This color is dictated by the structure of the semiconductor, which is usually a solid chemical element or compound arranged into crystals, and is what produces the light when a voltage is applied to it. The team of researchers from Arizona State University have been able to create a semiconductor that has three different sections, which, when stimulated, emit red, green, and blue, and thus combine to form white. The milestone puts lasers closer to eventually becoming a mainstream light source, brighter and more energy efficient. They could replace LEDs and even be used to make more accurate and vivid colors on computer and television screens. In addition, technology is under development to create light-based wireless communication, known as Li-Fi, which could potentially be more than 10 times faster than Wi-Fi. I'm Leo Ashcraft for Dark Matter News.
In the dark. Call Midnight in the Desert at 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
It will soon be your tomorrow's. How right that is. Hi, everybody. I've always loved that, just the way that message is delivered. This is Midnight in the Desert on the Dark Matter Digital Network. I'm Art Bell. Public number 952-225-5278. Skype is easy peasy. You just get Skype, put it on your phone. That's free, right? Then you put, if you're in North America or Canada, MITD51 in. That's MITD51. Call us. And then if you're overseas, somewhere out of the country, this one I really want to emphasize, anywhere in the world, the rest of the world, pretty easy to get through because, well, it's a big world and a bad time elsewhere. So Skype is a piece of cake. It's MITD55. If you're outside the U.S. and Canada, MITD55. Now, we're discussing all kinds of things tonight. It's open lines. Don't feel bound to discuss shadow people. But if you do, I really would like the description of what you saw. I'm wondering if there's any commonality here. What I saw really is haunting me, and I guess haunting is the right word. That doesn't mean it was a ghost. It means it's haunting me. Hello there, Brian.
Hi, Art Brian from Montreal.
From where?
From Montreal.
Okay. You're on.
So first things first, I like to do the art caller trifecta.
What would that be?
The one, is this art? Two, am I on the air? And three, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, and mostly.
Perfect. So I like to quickly suggest open lines in the future. I sent this to you on Friday. I just thought it would be a good idea. A Children of Time Traveler line, perhaps, that you can open up. You know, one night you're doing open lines because I think it would be interesting.
I tried, you know, but getting good time travelers is not an easy job.
That's fair. I totally understand that. But I just figured, you know, with who knows how John Titor actually spent his time here if he was supposedly here, right?
Perhaps yeah, you got a good point. You don't have very good internet, but you've got a good point.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. No problem. Let me give out. Let me do it. I don't care. I mean, you know, we can do anything you want. Let me open a time traveler line right now, just in case. You ready to copy, time travelers? If there really is a time traveler out there, call me at my Roswell number. That's right. It's routed through Roswell for a good reason. And the number is area code 575-208-7787. Any time travelers? The real McCoy now. Area code
Area code 575-208-7787. That's by request, I guess. All right, let's go to somebody in, I think, Nashville, Tennessee. Hi.
Oh, hello, Arch. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I don't know what the subject is because I've had my radio turned down.
Oh.
What's the subject?
Well, the subject is whatever you want it to be. Now, we were talking about shadow people or whatever in the hell they are, but we can talk about anything you want.
Okay, well, first, can I give a plug for our new Art Bell Time Travelers Facebook page?
You may.
Okay, we have this brand new Art Bell Time Travelers Facebook page, and it's only been up like 2 or 3 days, and we've already got some really great people that have joined, and everybody loves you, and we're so glad you're back.
Okay, what is the if you don't mind my asking, name of the Facebook page so people can, is it called Art Bell's Time Traveler or what?
It's Art Bell Time Travelers. They can put in up there in the search in the Facebook, they can just put Time Travelers.
Right.
Or Art Bell Time Travelers, and it'll go right to it.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that will attract some to you.
I hope so. And we're having fun, and we're enjoying you. And we missed you so much. You just don't realize how much we have missed you.
It is great
on the air.
Thank you so much.
And we're hearing you on shortwave here, too. Ted Randall's got it playing, you know, on 5085.
Right.
And it comes in very well.
I love the way a Southern person says that, 5085.
I know what you think about us.
Not at all. No, I actually love the accent. I love it.
Well, thank you, but you know that there's not much I can do about it.
Actually, you know what? A lot of singers, whether they're from the South or not, when they sing, pronounce the things as though they're from the South. Ah,
really?
Yeah, I becomes I, and so forth.
Are you talking about country music singers?
Not just country music singers, but any singers.
I never noticed that before.
It's the truth. Anyway, so I like your accent. Thank you very, very much for the call. And let me add, in addition to an apparent time traveler page, I'm learning through, I get all these messages that come through the wormhole. Stryker says TuneIn has its own chat room for any channel, so there are plenty of us chatting about the show in there. I had no idea. These chat sites and different things pop up all over the place. All right, on what I called my time traveler line, I'll give it a try. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art Bell.
Are you really a time traveler?
No, actually. I was availing myself of the... Why, did I call the wrong number?
Oh, yeah, you sure did. Sorry. That was for time travelers, and so I had to... Let me try it again. Right again. Time Traveler Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, does it count if it's a time traveler story about a child seeing a time traveler? Art, I've been wanting to tell you this story for years. When I was a little girl, 9 years old, I believe I saw a time traveler.
Well, wait a minute. Let me qualify you first. Now, this is a time traveler's line. Are you a time traveler?
No, but I saw one when I was a child.
Okay, well, how do you know you saw one? I might go for this.
Well,
go ahead.
I believe I did.
All right.
I was in my backyard, and I was about 9 years old, and it was after dinner. I was pulling up my bike out of our cellar, out of the cellar stairs,
yes.
And I turned back, and I looked behind me, and there was a man standing in my backyard about 30 feet. There was no way he could have gotten in there. And he looked kind of shocked or kind of confused.
Yeah, but what makes him a time traveler?
He was out of time. His clothing was out of time.
Oh.
His clothes were like in the 50s, and this was like 1977, 1978. And he had like he had like a haircut that you would have in the 50s and a type of shirt and khaki pants. And then as I was pulling the bike out, I looked back, I saw him, looked forward again, and then I realized, wait a minute, this is something wrong. I turned back around, and he was gone. And there was no way he could have left my yard. There was no way. He was too far from the gate.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna let you slip through barely on that. I really want... Now, I'm going to be strict about this. That line that I gave out is for time travelers only. All right? Let me give you the number again so you don't make a mistake. You better be a time traveler if you call this line. It is area code 575-208-7787. Non-time travelers, well, I've got a little button here, and I can send 130,000 volts right through this phone line. So the potential danger for you extends beyond being hung up on. Time travelers only. Kurt, hello? On Skype, you're on the air. Hello, Kurt. No, Kurt.
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, you
Sorry,
are there.
I have my mute button on.
Oh, that'll do it.
Let me turn my radio off. Doggone it. I'm sorry. I came up fast.
Oh, well, that's
how are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
I wanted to tell you about... I want to tell you about a little time travel story that happened to me.
Okay.
I was in... Oh, I'm getting nervous. Okay.
Big, deep breath.
Okay. Yeah. I was in high school in the marching band in the... hour one, we would march out on the... field and practice, you know, in halftime you do all the designs on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And so that first hour, I think I was a sophomore at that time, and there I am and have my saxophone and in line, and Diana, one of my, happened to be my cousin too by marriage, but she played saxophone with me too, and we're standing there, and all of a sudden somebody comes walking out on that field. Look, just spit an image of me. It was me walking out on that field.
Oh, my.
Looked at me, looked at Diana, said, Curtis. Looking at him, said, laugh. Curtis, there you are. And he looked at me, or I looked at me, and he went up and talked to Mr. Yeager, our band director there in front, and went up there. And whatever he said, I have no idea. And he walked away and looked back at me and walked away. And I never saw him again.
And you're sure that was you?
It was me. It was a spitting image of me. But I didn't know.
Younger you? An older you?
It was the same age as I was as a sophomore. But it was a spitting image. Even Diana said, Curtis, there you are, laughing. And people looking around laughing. And I said, what was I to think? But then the next year, no, 2 years later, when I was a senior, I had to do the announcements and say the pledge, being president. I made president, and so that was my duty. Second hour, I'd go in there and do the announcements. I forgot to go in and do the announcements on this one Tuesday or Wednesday, and there I'm sitting in geometry class, and my voice comes up on the air to do the pledge and do the announcements, and there I'm sitting listening to myself on the announcements.
Right. So, yeah, in other words, you met your... I believe you. Thank you very much. No need to swear. I believe you. Met yourself twice. Outside the country we go. Hello, Raymond.
How are we doing?
It's going well. Where are you, my friend?
I'm in Edinburgh, my friend.
Where?
It's good to see you. I'm in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good to hear you back on the radio. Huh?
It's good to be back.
As well as mate. I was just want to talk about when I stayed in the flats one time.
You what?
And I seen I stayed in the flats, in the blocky flats, and I was sitting, seeing out my window, like in a big ball.
Okay, you're like, cutting out like, a little on me, and you. Besides that, you have an accent that I could cut with a knife, but I'm trying. So you were in a flat in Milwaukee, was that right?
No, I was in a flat.
No, I'm sorry, you cut off. How did I manage to get a flat in Milwaukee out of that? I don't know. Kind of sounded like it. Going to a cell phone in Virginia. Hello.
Hey, this is Plasmon Flareton in Virginia, listening on 5085 kilohertz, shortwave WTWW. We transmit worldwide, a great station, and if you've got a shortwave radio that picks up 60 meters, you can listen to it for free.
Yes, sir.
Over the air.
That's right.
Now, I am also a little bit familiar with this phenomenon you were talking about before, that with the computer screens. And in fact, years ago, I developed a thing called pattern light, which is very similar to what they're now using for the backlighting, where they move the lighting around to follow the video.
Really?
And I think that may be what's going on. I was able to make a machine using pattern light that allowed large groups of people to dream together and have the same dream wide awake.
Really?
Yes.
Now, what started you doing that?
I was working on an exhibit at the Science Museum of Virginia,
yeah.
And I was working late at night one night, and I was standing across the room looking at this display. It was basically a simple LED large-size display for a rocket countdown,
right.
And I noticed all these speckles in the light, and I said, well, wait a minute, I'm getting coherence like from a laser out of this. There's no coherence in that light. I started investigating and finally discovered the coherence was inside my own neural network, inside my skull.
Wow.
And I was able to refine that to the point where I had six dials that I could tune, and everybody see the same thing the same way because their neural networks are similarly wired.
Okay, well, how did you get from, you know, experimenting on yourself to others?
I made a device to experiment on myself, and then when I realized that it worked on others, I built in several more headsets to wear. And, you know, I plugged them all into the same thing, and we had parties where we'd tune around and dial up what was in our neural networks, and people would gasp and be awed at the same thing at the same time when we asked them what they just saw.
Huh. So what have you done with this?
You could even dial up an extra visual field on top of your other one so you could see right through things. So what you're saying about seeing through things makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, I definitely saw through this thing. I would say, you know, the room was fairly dark, but it obscured only about half, I would say half, of what was behind it, what I could see behind it, to give you an idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want people to describe these things to me, because I know exactly, no, I don't know what I saw, but I can describe what I saw.
Art, it's so good to have you back. I'm a long-time listener, and I've got one comment I'd like to make about how you're pioneering a new way of delivery. I mean, I know a lot of people have done online streaming, but the way you're doing it, I think, is kind of pioneering. And the one drawback that I see in this plan is that people got to pay a lot for bandwidth, and that's not your fault. That's the way bandwidth costs in the United States, and it shouldn't.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what?
There's a patch around this.
You know, well, there is. For one thing, at this time of night, my friend, the majority of people are at home. And so if they're using the Wi-Fi on their phone or their tablet, it's not costing them, or their computer, it's not costing them anything.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of package they got for Internet service. That may well be true. But there's people on the road and truckers and the like that really can't partake. And there's a lot of rural people who simply do not have rural Internet.
True.
There's a thing called White Spaces Radio Networks, which was approved in 2010 by the FCC and went operational in 2012, and it's just sitting there fallow, unused. And if the listeners would support this and band together and form co-ops with this new White Spaces Internet service, they could become their own service providers.
Okay.
And they could do it for both the uplink and the downlink.
How do you get to it?
Well, first of all, what's happening now is it's about to be destroyed by a move in Congress started by a bill introduced by Senator Mark Warner in Virginia, unfortunately, that wants to take up the UHF TV spectrum, which is the largest spectrum grant ever given to the American public in 1952, and repackage it and remove all the white spaces so we can't have it. And I would like your listeners to think seriously about how nice it would be to have about, 15 or 16 TV channels worth of spectrum in your portable device.
Okay, well, you are aware that, I mean, most of the companies providing Internet now, along with phone service, are increasing drastically the amount of data that you can get. And I'll tell you a little secret. If you call them up and say, listen, you know, I'm kind of fed up. I'm thinking of canceling. They will send you over to a retention person, who probably will increase by a gigabit or more how much they give you just to save you.
I agree with all that, but if you're a road trucker, you may not be able to get a plan because there's no connectivity out in the, you know, some of the rural areas along the roads. And there's a lot of areas in the Southwest that are just dead except for satellite.
I know.
Now, if you can have a satellite downlink with these little spot beams coming from the Exceed satellite, and then have that be propagated out to the surrounding by a mesh network,
right?
Then local communities could set up their own downlink and internet service provider amongst themselves, like a rural electrical co-op. And then you could have a KU band downlink that could feed your show, so you don't have to have huge bandwidth that you're in.
All right, buddy, I've got to go. I'm at break. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, bye.
Take care. He's right, and I'm right, too. We'll talk about bandwidth. It's not really so bad for this show.
To call the show, if you're east of midnight, call 1-952-CALL-ART. If you're west of midnight, call 1-952-225-5278.
You gotta love that. Hi, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and this is Midnight in the Desert, rocking and just blazing through the night. Our guest didn't show up, and case of raw. You know, that doesn't stop the show. In fact, it goes on with zest. Hi there. On my time traveler line, are you a time traveler?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, oh yeah. Just like that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. You're definitely a time traveler?
Without a doubt, Art, I am a time traveler.
All right. From what year do you originate?
Well, I'll tell you how I did it, Art. I went backwards in time from the year 2010. I went back to 1915. This is just one time.
That was 1915. All right.
No, yeah, exactly. I went to the Indianapolis 500 on Salvia Divinorum, and I stuck my head in through the bleachers, and I was there.
Really?
I received the last lap, the checkered flag. This is coming down. People were going crazy in the stands, waving their flags, and turned to the left, and I could see these old cars coming. I'm like, wow, man, this is too much. I'm not even really a race fan. I'm thinking, okay, this is fantastic. And I wanted to tap somebody on the shoulder and say, here's my phone number. Call me in 10 minutes. I'll be back.
Okay.
I've also gone back to the 1950s on Salvia Divinorum, and it's pretty common.
All right. I want to ask you a couple of questions, please. One is, by what method, if you can tell us, do you travel in time?
By smoking Salvia Divinorum.
What the heck is that?
Salvia is a hallucinogenic herb from Oaxaca, Mexico. It's safe and it's legal, and it's
10 times stronger than LSD.
All right, so how do you know you're actually traveling in time versus so high you can't even move?
I think the reality factor and the fact it only lasts for 5 minutes and you're back and able to recall it completely.
Yeah, there is that.
Let's see.
Have you ever gone into the future?
No, because the future hasn't happened yet. I don't believe people can travel into the future.
Some claim they can.
My experience has always been backwards.
Fascinating.
And I just believe that the key to time travel is going to be drugs, and it's not a machine. It's going to be a substance. Terrence McKenna said that, and I agree with him. And he says Salvia divinorum is the key.
All right, I appreciate. I very much appreciate your call. Thank you. And Terrence very well may have said that. And you know, I'm not ruling it out. I'm really not ruling it out. I'm not a proponent of drugs at all, but you can't rule it out. It may well be that time travel could turn out ultimately to be a function of the brain. A lot of movies are based on that. One of my favorite movies of all time, Somewhere in Time, was actually based on that. If you've never seen that movie, make it a point to do it, Somewhere in Time. Okay, where to go? Let's go to Michael on Skype. Michael, hello.
Yeah, good morning, Art. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Where are you?
I am in Virginia.
Virginia.
Yep.
Beautiful, beautiful part of the country.
It is. It really is, yeah. So I have a couple plus one questions for you.
Okay.
If that's all right.
Sure.
So I called into Richard Hoagland's program, Other Side of Midnight, last week.
Yes.
And I asked him if he had considered doing a 3-hour show instead of the 2 hours.
Actually, he has.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said he was interested, but he wasn't sure if the network would go along with that.
Hmm.
So my question to you is, have you given any consideration to Richard's show going 3 hours?
I have. He said to me, Art, you know, I don't know if 2 hours is enough, you know, to get deeply into the subject he wants to get into. And I said, look, Richard, why don't you do this? Why don't you try to for a while and see how you do? And if you want to go to 3, probably the space can be made.
Ah, okay. So there is an option for that. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, sure there is.
I've really been enjoying that show. It's got kind of an audio verite flavor to it.
It does. It does. It's like, what's coming next?
You never know.
Yeah. That's right.
So my second question is, I know that you haven't been actively pursuing it, but are you aware of any other terrestrial radio stations across the country that have expressed interest in picking up your show as an affiliate?
Yes. We have.
Ooh,
and, well, you know what? You're absolutely right. We're not aggressively pursuing it. We haven't called any of these stations that have joined us. They all came to us, and I'm still not sure. I mean, I guess it's cool, but, you know, this is such an experiment we're doing. Then I don't know what direction we're going to go. Ultimately, maybe the commercials will go and we'll be listener supported. I don't know.
Sure.
You know, everything's open.
I think that having terrestrial stations gives you a larger audience, certainly, right?
You know what? That's changing. And certainly now that is true. Yes.
Yes.
And I'm not going to, you know, as I said, I'm not going to turn them down. I can't think of any reason to turn them down, and
why would you, right? Yeah,
sure. And we'll give them the ratings, guaranteed. There's this,
okay, so
let me go on. There's this interesting experiment going on up in Portland. We're on a big one there, KXL. Big, right? And when the ratings come out, there's going to be there's going to be a shock that goes across the American radio community. And I'll leave it at that.
Exciting. I certainly hope that you're getting good ratings up there.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, my final question is one that sort of just came up in the past hour.
Sure.
apparently the host of the other unlistenable show has promoted this evening that how their streaming service hasn't had a price increase and whatnot. This coming from the guy who claims to never play dirty pool, right?
You know, the guy just
he's
cannot.
He's always above board, right, Art?
He just can't help reacting, can he?
No, he can't. He's scared. And why wouldn't he be? You're Art Bell, and he's not, right?
Yeah, well, I hear that he's crowdfunded his way to the star system Tumeric, where he'll probably attempt a landing on the planet.
At 11:11, I'm sure.
Riguli.
Anyway, you wouldn't suspect that tonight's scheduled guest was, I don't know, advised by the other show to abandon his appearance?
Oh, who knows? Who knows? I doubt that.
I don't.
Anyway, it doesn't matter to me. I'm cool. I'm cool. I'd rather do open lines anyway.
Fair enough, Art. We're very, very happy to have you back, and I hope you have a good day. Roswell's to you.
Take care, bud. Yeah, I'm easy. I really am easy. I mean, I can go any way at all. If I have a guest that doesn't show up, well, you know, that's life. Life goes on and all that stuff, so we'll just do whatever is fun. That's the cool thing about, I suppose, two things. One being my age, and two, doing something you love. It's not like all stops, you know, when somebody doesn't show up. I just, it's, okay, what's next? Julie, hello, Julie, from somewhere.
Hey, Art, thanks for taking my call. We're so glad you're back on the air.
Thank you for making it. Where are you, Julie?
I'm in Faircrest, Washington.
Okay.
So my husband listens a little bit more religiously than I do, and he mentioned that you were looking for the Washington State Patrol trooper that feeds Bigfoot.
That's right.
So I don't know that guy, but I did go to my trooper friend's house last night, and we mentioned the story to him, and he had a kind of funny story to tell us that there was a candidate to be a trooper, and they have to take a polygraph examination before they can become troopers.
Okay.
And they asked him, they said, you know, they asked a series of questions that they've already asked them, and he answered in the affirmative when they said, have you ever been the subject of a police investigation? And he was kind of sheepish and looked down a little bit, and he said, yeah. And they said, well, you haven't disclosed this before, so what's the deal? And he said, well, I used to dress up in a Bigfoot costume and run across the highway. And the police ended up investigating it. He never got caught, but and he's a trooper to this day. I don't know his name. My friend didn't disclose that, but it was pretty funny. I thought.
All right. Well, the story about the trooper in Washington seeing Bigfoot is real. So if you can get me a name, I'm Art Bell at artbell.com.
Well, I'll try, but I don't know that anyone's going to disclose that. But
well, he can talk to me anonymously, really. I'll figure out a way. We'll change his voice. I don't care. I just want to interview the guy. He's 20 feet from Bigfoot. He feeds Bigfoot. I want to talk to him.
All right, well, I'll let him know and see if they want to talk to you.
Please, thank you. Tell him, email me, and I will, you know, I'll figure out a way. I guarantee I'll figure out a way. Okay, here we go. Time Traveler Line, you are on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Bell.
Good evening. Are you really a time traveler?
I have traveled one time to visit my son.
One time to travel, traveling to visit your son.
Well, my son arranged the transportation.
I see. Okay. And your son was when?
2060.
2060. Okay. I guess your son could be that age. And you actually, how did you do it? That's the first question.
Well, as I say, he arranged it. And the reason that I'm calling before I answer your question is because he's very interested in revealing some facts about the future that might cause a spinoff in the space-time continuum and provide other possibilities for
alternative futures.
Hmm. Okay. Having said that, how did you travel? Was it a machine? Is it something you did with drugs like our caller a little while ago? What?
Well, without being too specific, I was told to go to a specific location. I met some people there, very polite and friendly, and they placed me in this device, kind of a bell-shaped unit. And it, to look at it, it looked really ancient. I mean, it didn't look like something that, you know, was from the future.
Right.
And within moments, I was with my son, where he lives on Mars, actually.
Your son lives on Mars?
Yes.
Okay, see, that's harder to believe than traveling in time.
Well,
how does he live on Mars? By then, have we established a colony?
Well, he lives in a colony of 200,000.
So we have a big colony. And all this by the year 2060?
Yes.
Man, we can't even get the spaceship. All right, thank you. I'm not buying that. And the reason is that, we can't even get up to the International Space Station anymore. So, a colony of hundreds of thousands on Mars by 2060? I don't see it. I just don't see it. But then again, you know, technology's pretty wild. No question about that. All right, let's go to somebody whose name... No, we'll hold that. We'll go to the phone. We should be going back to the phone. Laguna Beach, I think you're on the air.
Hi, I can't believe it. Oh, my gosh. Hello, Art.
Hello. Thank you.
Oh, my God. This is Sylvia from Laguna Beach. Roswell's to you.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so happy you're back.
Well, I'm so happy you're so happy at this time of night.
Okay, I have so many stories I want to tell you. I don't know which one to tell. I'm just going to...
Well, here's the thing. Take the most shocking, interesting one and tell me that one.
Okay, then. I will tell you about my father's visitation to me 2 months after he died. This is what happened. This little bit of backstory. I'll be as quickly as possible so I can get to the point. I was dating a man for a couple of years, and he wasn't an American citizen. He was from Asia.
Right.
And he had decided to go back to his country to visit his mother.
Right.
And I said, that's fine. No problem. Go see her. She misses you. So he leaves and never comes back.
Aww.
And I'm thinking, okay, that's weird. What's going on? A year later, I find him on Facebook. And it turns out that he was already a married man with kids. And that everything about him was a lie. And I felt so deceived by this. And not only was I felt deceived for what he did to me, but I thought about my parents and how he had deceived them as well. And I wanted to tell my parents at the time, but unfortunately, my father was dying from brain cancer, and I figured he can't be burdened by this.
Right.
So I never said a word.
Right.
On November, my father had passed away. And 2 months later, he came to me in a dream. And in the dream, he was normal, cancer-free, very young, I would say in his 30s.
Oh.
And he was furious. He was so furious. And he's gripping my boyfriend by the shoulder.
Mm.
He's looking at him hard, like, you're not going anywhere. And he's looking straight, my father's looking straight at me in the eye. And he says to me, you have to tell her. And I'm thinking, who? What are you talking about, Daddy? And then he shouts. He goes, Mija. And that means my daughter in Spanish. He goes, Mija. I know everything.
See, now we're talking about a real dad here. Did you hear the poor lady who called about the hex earlier?
I did. Yeah. Oh, my God. That gave me chills. I couldn't believe that. Oh, my God. Anyway, my father said to me, you know, you have to tell his wife what happened.
Right.
And then I said to my dad, Daddy, I can't. There's no way that I can contact him. And then he says to me, go on Facebook. She just joined.
Mm-hmm.
And I wake up, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm having a heart attack, it was such a vivid dream. And I'm thinking, that was a fluke, that can't be real. But of course, curiosity got to me, and I decided to go on Facebook.
Right.
So I go on Facebook, I find my boyfriend's Facebook account, and there's an update. It's linked with his wife's Facebook account. And so I click on her name, and I see her Facebook page, and it says at the very bottom, just joined 1 hour ago.
Wow. Wow. All right, Liz and I got to go, but what a story. Thank you. You know, even law enforcement uses Facebook to find people now. So I'm not surprised, but what a story. This is Midnight in the Desert. I'm Art Bell. Stay right there.
Exclusively on the Dark Matter Digital Network with Art Bell. Invite you to call now, 1-952. Call Art, that's 1-952-225-5278.
You know, besides, over there, if they're charging, you know, for value of content, they ought to be lowering the price anyway, wouldn't you think? Let's go to Cam. Hi, Cam. How are you?
Good. I like that last comment there.
Yeah, well,
hey, what a great show. Who needs a guest when you got all these callers?
Well, there is that.
I just put Skype on my phone tonight, and this is the first time I'm trying it.
So you see how well it... Oh, an echo? Really?
Let's see. Let me turn down the volume.
Actually, you sound cool to me.
Okay.
What are you on, actually? A computer or a phone?
iPhone 6 Plus.
iPhone 6. Oh, a Plus, huh? You know, I always wondered about those. It's like holding a, I don't know, big thing to your ear.
Yeah, but I kind of liked it for the bigger screen, and then later I got glasses, so maybe I didn't need that. But
well, let me tell you, your audio here is like you're sitting next to me. That's how good it is.
Oh, well, great. Thanks.
You're very welcome.
With when I hear you over my mixer, I just turned it down. You sound like you're sitting in my room with me, too. So.
There you
just
have
like
it.
That. Hey, I wanted to share a shadow cat story, but first I wanted to express my concern over anybody that dresses up as Bigfoot and walks across the highway at night.
Boy, no joke.
You know, there's been talk about the first person that can shoot one and capture it, it should be not illegal or something. So it's really dangerous to dress up as Bigfoot in the Northwest and walk across the highway.
It sure is. And I wonder how it would resolve if you shot what appeared to be a Bigfoot and it turned out to be some idiot in a costume. I wonder legally how that would come down. I guess the guy could say, look, this monster was coming at me and I was scared for my life, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think technically shooting the first Bigfoot may not be illegal, but so...
Well, if it's a real Bigfoot, yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, I mean, if he's tall and you really thought he was Bigfoot, you know, I don't know. So.
Yeah, it's a good point, and I really appreciate it. Anything else?
Well, my shadow cat story.
Yes.
I bought my house some years ago, and it's an older house, and I had my friend with me, and we were taking out a temporary wall, and we pulled back the ugly paneling, and we both saw this, what we thought was a cat, jump out from behind the paneling in the wall and run out the front. But when we both acknowledged it to each other, we realized, first of all, it had no solid form. It was black, it was kind of fuzzy, and it dissipated once it got out of the room.
Ooh, that's weird.
Turned into nothing. So, but we both saw it at the same time.
Well, see, there you are. You both saw it. Now we've got a sighting by two people.
Yeah.
Yeah, very impressive. Thank you very much. And I submit to you that that really counts. When two people see it, my word for it, you don't have to take my word for it, even though I guarantee you what I told you was the absolute truth. But if two people see it or more, that has some pretty serious meaning in my mind. Kimberly with a bunch of zeros. I can't read the number, but Kimberly, you're on the air. Hi. Hello, Kimberly. Aw, I guess she bailed. She was probably somewhere outside the country. No idea where. But Kimberly, you would have been on the air. All right. Not a lot of time, so let's go to Larry. You are on the air. Hello.
Me?
You.
Holy crow, Edgar.
Yeah, extinguish your device.
There we go.
There you go.
Hey, I talked to you. My God, it had to be, I don't know, way back when you first started. I wanted to talk to you, and you put me on, I'm getting nervous.
Probably back when you were young, huh?
Well, yeah, we were both a lot younger.
All right.
But I got put on hold, and then we lost contact. I never got a chance to get back to you. I'm so glad you're back on the air.
Well, here you are.
Anyway, I was always wondering if you and I had met in Nominui boat docks way back when, because I was on that, you know.
He's talking about Okinawa.
I'm sorry?
I said you're talking about Okinawa. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where the, you know, the GIs weren't allowed to go there, but I did. We did. Me and my buddies.
But, well, it was pretty cool. I was at first military there, of course, but I turned around and went back to Okinawa as a civilian. And
right.
I lived in Naha, so I was all over the place there. You can bet on it.
Right. I was stationed at Naha.
Well, there you are.
And this would have been like 1967.
Sounds about right.
Oh, my God. We got to talking about tasers and lasers and all this stuff. And
sounds like me.
Way back when, and I always wondered if it was you that, you know, years later, I hear you on the air, and, geez, I wonder if that was that fella.
Yeah, sounds like me, all right.
Oh, my.
All right, and, my friend. I'm short on time. I got to go. I've got to look for somebody overseas very quickly. Hello?
Hello?
Ito, hi.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, is this me?
It's you. Ito, where are you? Yes, where are you calling from?
Ireland.
Ireland. Excellent.
Yeah. Is that Art Bell?
Yes, this is Art Bell, but...
Art Bell, I'm delighted to speak to you. I'm honored. Hello.
I'm honored to speak with you. However, listen to me. We're coming up on a break, and I have to take these breaks. I have absolutely no choice, so...
I understand.
Can you hold on through the break?
I think so, yeah, no problem.
All right, it's free, so hang loose. We'll get back to you in Ireland. Worldwide, on the Internet, this is Midnight in the Desert. I'm Art Bell.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in from a flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation.
For Dark Matter News, I'm Leo Ashcraft. Flying snakes. While that may sound strange,
flying snakes actually exist. The mystery of how flying snakes stay aloft may have been solved by scientists, though. These unusual reptiles, which are found in rainforests in Southeast Asia, are able to fling themselves from trees and elegantly glide through the air. Scientists say that the serpents radically alter their body shape to generate the aerodynamic forces needed to perform this feat. Professor Jake Socha from Virginia Tech, who carried out the study, said the snake is definitely not an intuitive glider. When you look at it, you'd say that thing should not be able to glide. And in its normal body configuration, that's probably true. But when it enters the air, when it takes off and jumps and leaps from a branch, it massively transforms its body. As it jumps, it flattens out from just behind the head to where the tail starts. What it is doing is taking its ribs and rotating them forwards towards the head and upwards towards the spine. The snake's body changes from having a very round cross-section to one that is more squashed and concave at the bottom. He said the snake was producing an aerodynamic force that was comparable to that created by a scaled-down plane wing. As it's doing this, it's moving its head from side to side. It is passing waves down the body, and it looks like the animal is swimming in the air. The team says the snake could help to inspire robotic development, potentially leading to machines that can crawl, climb, and glide. This is Dark Matter News. A new jaw-dropping up-close video displays the eruption of the Piton de la Fournaise volcano, located on Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean near Madagascar. New footage of the eruption, which prompted evacuation on Friday, shows the fiery rivers of lava running down the slopes. The eruption lasted for 3 days before ending on Sunday, shortly after 11 a.m. local time. This is a World Heritage Site and is one of the most active volcanoes in the world. The volcanic activity hampered the work of Malaysian investigators examining suspected debris of the MH370 flight found by beachcombers on Reunion Island on Wednesday. Malaysian Airlines flight MH370 went missing on March 8, 2014, with 239 people on board, shortly after taking off from the Malaysian capital of Kuala Lumpur en route to Beijing. Its disappearance prompted a massive international search lasting more than a year in the South Indian Ocean, the China Sea, and the Gulf of Thailand. CNN has reported that worms can invade your brain if you eat this common food. Once you consume them, they can move throughout your body, your eyes, your tissues, and most commonly, your brain. They leave doctors puzzled in their wake as they migrate and settle to feed on the body they're invading. A classic parasite, but this one can get into your head. A British man was found to have a tapeworm moving inside his brain in 2013. This form of tapeworm had never been seen before in the United Kingdom. The patient had recently visited China, which, along with South Korea, Japan, and Thailand, has more regular occurrences of the parasite known as Spirometra. 4 years earlier, the man had first experienced symptoms such as headaches, which the team of doctors had treated as tuberculosis, but then it returned. This time he had new symptoms. The worm was now pushing on a new part of his brain, causing seizures and weakness in his legs. The condition associated with this infection was, in fact, sparganosis. There is no known drug to effectively treat the infection, meaning that upon diagnosis, doctors had to be quick to remove the worm surgically. The adult form of the Spirometra tapeworm only occurs in the intestines of cats and dogs, but as these animals shed the worm's eggs in their feces, the eggs can enter and contaminate water. The resulting juvenile form of tapeworm, known as larvae, can then stay in water within certain small crustaceans or end up in frogs and snakes. As larvae, they can invade humans through ingestion or direct contact with infected animals. I'm Leo Ashcraft for Dark Matter News.
Into this house we're born. Into this. this world we're thrown.
While midnight sweeps across America, you've found an oasis for the mind. To call Midnight in the Desert, please dial 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
Some of you feel I gave the guy with the sun on Mars short shrift. Maybe. He can call back. How about that? We'll bend the rule for that. Maybe I should have listened a little more. It just, I don't know, it caught me as unlikely, but one never knows. This is Midnight in the Desert, and one with this really never knows. Back now to, is it, help me pronounce your name, is it Ido or Ido? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
I'm here. My name is Colin. I'm from Ireland.
Oh, Carlin, your Skype says IDO.
I do not know. Yes. Oh. Yeah, that's a silly name. I do not know because
it doesn't really say that, though. It says IDO space NOTKNOW. I get it now. I do not know.
You get it now.
Yeah.
I do not know, basically. Right. How are you, man? Great show.
Thank you.
I missed most of it today, but usually I get your show from somewhere on TuneIn, you know?
Well, now we have these archives.
I've never seen before.
We have archives, and you can go back and listen to old shows. Pretty cool.
Cool. I'd love to hear this again, because I really didn't think I'd get through.
Okay, if you go to artbell.com, that's my name, artbell.com, you can sign up there, and right now it's $5, and then you get grandfathered in at $5. It's really cool.
Cool. That sounds good to me, because I want to support your show. It's awesome that you're back.
Thank you.
Am I on air right now?
Oh, right now, yes.
Oh, I nearly cursed at you. Sorry. You probably don't have much time with me, so no. Just thank you very much for taking my call. It's awesome. I'm glad to get through. I'd like to suggest a few things today, if that's cool. No.
Go ahead.
Have you ever heard of this mythical island off the coast of Ireland that was on maps up until 1872?
What's the name of it?
I thought High Brazil, it's called.
High Brazil, no. Wait a minute, maybe I have.
You may be able to find an expert on that, you know.
What's the deal?
Basically, it was a tiny little, it's a mythical island, you know, Irish myth sort of thing.
Sure.
And it vanished in the fog, you know, that sort of way. It was only seen once every year or so.
Yes.
And I just thought it was a pretty cool subject. You might be able to get somebody on it.
I'd love to. You're in a better place to, you know, get that person for me than I am.
It sounds cool, yeah. I can't really get much information on it, but I'll send you links if I find something, you know.
Would you please?
Yeah, of course. And we have on Dover Coo as well as a lake creature as well I'm interested in. I'd like to hear somebody who knows stuff about that for a link.
Oh, we've heard about your creatures.
Yeah.
So I would love to hear more about that.
We've plenty of those.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much for the call all the way from Ireland.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Let me very quickly go to my time traveler line. Hello.
Hello.
Are you the... You're the guy, aren't you?
I'm the guy, yeah.
With the sun on Mars. I did. I cut you off too soon. What else can you tell us? I mean, 200,000 people, that's a lot.
I can tell you that, I live in the present. I mean, I was born in 1956, so I am from now. But the drive that enabled or will enable them to colonize really the whole solar system has already been developed.
You know what? After you called and I got those messages, I thought about that and I thought, oh my God, what if we develop a drive that will move mass people? Some sort of gravity drive, I would imagine, or what?
No, it's electromagnetic drive. It's a sealed engine that NASA has already approved or has already tested and verified.
Really?
And it's and that's in a hard vacuum. And, they're getting minimal thrust, but once they start to use a superconducting reaction chamber, which, by the way, is sealed, there's no exhaust tube.
Right.
They'll be able to increase the Q up into the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands and be able to get
you know, a million pounds of thrust out of, you know, using electricity to power it.
That's
in 5 years.
All right, let me ask this. What is it that motivated that many people to go to Mars?
Well, what always motivates them? Gold.
Gold?
That's one of the primary gold mining colonies on Mars, and, you know, plus there are quite a few of them on the asteroids, and there's extensive things going on the moon.
Well, that certainly, through the ages, has motivated many people to go on many gold rushes, so I get that.
The reason that I called you is because my son wants to arrange a live communication from 2060 to you from Mars.
Oh, good Lord, yes. Good Lord, yes.
And
here's what I would suggest.
It will take some preparation, and it will take some time to arrange this, okay. But there is a very good reason that he feels very strongly that this needs to occur.
I'm with him.
And he's potentially could get into some trouble. In fact, you know.
Well, I don't want that.
But it's for the good.
All right. Let's do this. Let us set up something by email. I'm artbell@artbell.com, and we can set up whatever you want.
Okay. I will talk to the people that will actually do the technological part.
Yes.
And then I will get back to you. I don't know how I will verify that I am who I am, but you can refer to me as Frank. I don't know if that'll help.
Done deal, Frank. This has been a good call, so get in touch with me. We'll arrange exactly what you just said.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you, Frank, and take care. See, this is why you do open lines. This is exactly why you do open lines. You never, ever know what you're going to run into. You just don't know. Ithaca, New York. Hello.
Hello, Art. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I am very grateful to you, not only for all the time you've been on the air, but some special peak moments of it. And one of those is when you talked about crop formation that has come down now to be known as the Arecibo reply.
I remember the Arecibo reply well.
Yes, well, I was so inspired by that to do a science project. And I actually had called Lisa at the time because I wanted to be on coach, not about that, but about some research I'd done with genetics, about the genetics of altruism.
Yes.
But I told her that I could have a field day analyzing those agroglyphs in the computer.
How do you analyze them? I mean, what kind of what do you put them through to analyze them? I'm curious.
Well, okay, if you have two rectangles on the ground on very flat land.
Yes.
And if you remember the alien face and the Arecibo reply.
Sure.
Were rectangles, but they were not parallel to each other. No side of one rectangle was parallel to any side of the other.
Yes.
And when you have that, there's enough information in a perspective picture of the scene to reconstruct a perfect map of the scene as it would look, looking straight down on it. And if the pictures were a hoax, that map would reveal the radar dish as an oval instead of a circle, and the parking lot, a third non-parallel rectangle in the scene.
You know, that actually makes sense. In other words, we rarely, almost never, see a directly looking down photograph, do we?
Yes, but if you reconstruct the straight looking down photograph.
Yeah, I get it.
If it were a hoax, the radar dish would come out oval on the map.
I so get it.
Would come out not as a rectangle.
Right.
Now, I told Nancy Talbot, a crop circle expert, about this research project I did. And she got very angry. She said, my great friends in England were there. They walked around in it. How could you dare to do research to demonstrate that it might not have really existed and might have just been a fancy drawing? And I said, but science doesn't work that way. And the thing she didn't give me time to say
was that there are certain autistic savants who, when they look at such a photograph,
bingo,
can generate the map in their head and just draw it.
Totally got
so
it.
All I really did was write a computer program to emulate an autistic savant and create the map from the photograph.
Listen, I would love to see the results of some of what you've done. Could you get them to me?
Well, I sent you an email at artbell@artbell.com with the four versions of the manuscript I wrote for After Dark. Unfortunately, Lisa lost interest in it. At first she said, I won't have you on about it.
No. What I'm asking for is actual renderings of what you came up with, if viewed.
There are schematic drawings. I'm blind and I can't do much good artwork, but I have what's a computer-generated pictures of the maps. And what's interesting is at first the maps came out as if it had been hoaxes, but I found out what happened is the photos weren't hoaxes at all. The scene was very real.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was people had doctored some of the pictures to make the details in the formation show up in perspective. And they took the pictures off of the picture, as it were, turned them into rectangles,
mm-hmm.
put in the details, and then tried to put them back in perspective again. And they didn't put them back exactly where they had taken them from, and that ruined those pictures.
But of course, yes.
One picture where they didn't do any doctoring at all, the radar.
Okay, well, can you get me one example even?
Well, it's in the email I sent you. If you can if you can give me a subject header you want me to use so you can find it, I'll send it again.
Crop formation phone call.
Okay.
All right.
I would love to be on Midnight in the Desert to be interviewed about this project, because I put a lot of time and energy into it.
I can understand, and that might happen. Thank you very, very much for the call. And what he is saying makes so much sense. It's almost like Contact. You remember Contact when they were trying to figure out how it all fit together, and it turned out to be a three-dimensional thing, and you had to put it together. And until you put it together, it made no sense at all. Make sense? Okay, so many things ringing here. Let's try for Dale on Skype. Hello. Dale, are you there?
Hey.
Hey, Dale.
How you doing, Art?
Very well.
Wow, this is awesome. The first time I remember talking to you, I had been listening to you for a couple of years, and it was in 1994, and the story of the Ohio UFO came on.
Sure.
And that captivated me. It was like 2 or 3 hours of this amazing story. But I wanted to talk about you. You were talking about shadow creatures earlier, and it got me to thinking. I'm an electrical engineer. And I'm wondering what substance they're made out of, or do they only manifest as something in the electromagnetic spectrum? And then I'm wondering, how could we interact with them?
I want all the same answers, buddy. I want all the same answers. I can tell you that I could see about halfway through it. In other words, stuff in the background behind it was about half as visible as it should have been with the amount of light in the room. Follow me?
Yeah, like a 50% gray filter, right?
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, correct. So I wonder, you know, like people who see these, maybe they might want to keep a flash unit with them and see if you could get their attention, light them up with a flash unit,
mm-hmm.
see what kind of reaction they'd get. I'm wondering about microwave, sound bursts, laser, or a taser. I mean, if we want to be unfriendly, we have a lot of options we can explore.
I don't really want to be unfriendly, but I also don't want to be a victim.
Right, exactly. If they're pests, you know, it seems like we have a better mousetrap we could try. But if we want to be friendly with them, what kind of things might they want? Music? Pretty pictures?
Or whatever it is, I'd be glad
anyway,
to hand it over.
That was my thought.
All right, thank you very much. As I said, whatever it is, I'd be more than happy to hand it over to not have to see them again. Thank you. Let's see. Kirkfield, Ontario, is that correct?
That's correct, Art.
Hey.
Terry, I'm listening on CFRB 1010.
Yes, sir.
And or I don't actually need it, but they also do short waves, CFRX 6.070 megahertz.
I was hearing that. People have been telling me that they actually have their own short wave station, and we're carrying on that?
I haven't had a need to seek it out.
Okay.
My understanding is that it would be a simulcast. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty exciting. We're all over shortwave. It's it's so appropriate. I love radio.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful. And amateur radio is a great hobby, too.
It
I wish
sure
I could
is.
Afford it. You, I wanted to ask a question.
You can afford ham radio. Find somebody with a secondhand rig for sale. There's tons of them out there. You'll find something. Get on the air. Do it. Get your license.
It'd be great.
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. I'm hearing very familiar theme music. I'm hearing a very familiar voiceover guy. And down the street, they're carrying a Best of Art Bell show on Saturday night. I'm very confused about who's on speaking terms with whom.
Yeah, I'm confused, too. So join the club.
Okay. I didn't realize. Okay, so it's pretty complicated, in other words.
Complicated beyond even my understanding, yes.
Okay. That's really all I wanted to ask.
Well, I wish I had an answer for you, my friend. I really wish I had an answer. Thank you very much for the call, and take care. You know, if they want to continue to play those and, in effect, advertise the fact that Art Bell is still here, all you got to do is, well, twist the dial, fire up the phone, fire up the iPad, fire up the computer. We're everywhere. Oh, my. Let's try. I think we've got somebody on Skype. Hello? No, I think that was a hanger-on. Let's try here. Oh, Skype. Ken? Hello, Ken.
Hi.
Hi, Ken. Turn your device down, please.
Okay. I'm getting to it.
Okay. We're waiting. Dum, 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 dum. Down. Volume down.
Yeah, I'm there now.
Okay. Good. You're on the air.
Oh, great. It's so good to talk to you, Art. It's been quite a while since I talked to you, but how would you like to take a ride about 55 years back?
I would love that.
I was 10 years old, and, of course, as any little kid at night, I always stared at the closet door. And one night...
Very quickly, because the darn show is ending.
I saw something at the head of my bed that was about 3.5 feet tall.
Right.
And it looked something like this picture. It's in the center of the Aztec calendar with big ears, and it freaked me out, so I hid under the covers. And that was the last time I saw it, but ever since then, about a year after that, I experienced night dream flights.
Oh, that's awful. I'm so sorry. I've got to go. Listen, everybody, thank you. This show flew by. I can't believe it's over. Richard C. Hoagland's coming up on the Dark Matter Digital Network from the high desert. Good night, world.
Are we running out of time?
Midnight in the desert.